The Too Rich to Miss Podcast. Becoming. Evolving. Changing. Let's go. Welcome to the Too Rich to Miss Podcast, a place dedicated to motivate, educate, and inspire the listener to live their best life now using the skills that lie within. Becoming a better person by evolving our way of thinking, which allows us to change our life, family, and community. Let's get into today's topics. Welcome to the Too Rich to Miss Podcast. I am your host, Richard Hawks, and this week we got episode 26 coming at you this week. And we're going to go through and run through what we're going to be doing today. Our main topic that we're going to be discussing is how social media affects teens. I'm going to say that one more time, and I know you heard me. How social media affects teens. And of course, I'm going to go in and I'm not going to pull any punches on this one. Some people will be pissed off. Some people will be offended. But the whole benefit and the point of having an independent, non-corporate sponsored media platform is the fact that you can pretty much say whatever the fuck you want and express however the fuck you feel, whether you want to cuss or not. So, let's get into today's topics. Positive news is coming out of the corporate world. And kind of like I said last week, black girl power. And black girl power. Health news. We're going to be talking about the coronavirus again, giving an update on what's going on in Virginia. Homeschool news. Homeschool news. This week, we're going to go through and I'm going to give you some resources this week. I'm going to give you some different groups that you can go through and talk to. Well, some Facebook groups that you could join to get some other information and talk to some other people about homeschooling. And don't just take my word for it, but be to talk to some other people that are out there in the trenches right now doing it. Because kind of like I said, me and my wife, we're kind of on the tail end of it right now. We have our oldest in college, and then the one that is right under him is going to be graduating her this year. So we're at the end of the cycle on this, but homeschooling has been a wonderful experience. So we'll talk about that and give you guys some groups that you can go through and join on Facebook to get some more information and to get some support. Corny comedy. Got corny comedy coming at you again. And then, of course, the main topic that we're going to be talking about today, which is going to be how social media affects teens. All right. Now, positive news. Taking it right from the top. Positive news is a story that comes out of the corporate world. And this is a story that you've heard about before, I'm sure, if you're out in the social media space. This is about Ramona Hood. Now, who is Ramona Hood? Ramona Hood is the CEO, the new CEO of FedEx. We all know who FedEx is. So, she's the new CEO. She has been at this company for 28 years, right? Now, and let me just read a little brief paragraph about her, so we can kind of go on and give her her shine, and I can pull out and really talk about the couple of things that are really important that I grab, that we all can grab from this story and from her positive. This is just exceptional what she's done. Now, Ramona Hood, and this is just a brief snippet, and this is pulled right off of the FedEx.com website, right off of the page where it goes through and it talks about her bio. It says, She brings more than 28 years of FedEx experience to her role, having most recently served as Vice President of Operations, Strategy, Planning for FedEx Custom Critical. Hood started her career at FedEx Custom Critical in 1991 in an entry-level position and worked her way up to various executive leadership positions at FedEx Custom Critical and FedEx Supply Chain. Her career path evolved through many areas of the company, including operations, safety, sourcing, sales, and marketing. Now, 28 years. Started in an entry-level position. And now she's the CEO. And she's a black woman, right? So, the one big main takeaway that I get from this, and once again, this is about becoming, evolving, changing. This is a prime example of becoming, evolving, and changing. She started in an entry-level position. And as is noted, just in this one little paragraph, her career path evolved through many areas of the company, right? She was dedicated. And in becoming the better person, evolving through the many areas of the company, she was able to change her situation and grow and become the CEO of FedEx. It's a wonderful thing. Your imagination is your only limitation. Now, granted, I will be one of the first ones that will talk about entrepreneurship and talk about getting out here and having your own. But I do understand that that's not everybody's path. Everybody is not entrepreneurial and doesn't want to go through all of the things that entrepreneurs have to go through or do or take care of, handle responsibilities and such. And there's nothing wrong with doing something that you like, that you enjoy, or there's nothing wrong if you get into a company that you didn't essentially originally want to be a part of and you just got the job for the sake of getting the job. There's nothing wrong with you getting there and making it work. Who knows what she was thinking when she first got this entry-level position at FedEx. But whatever was happening, she stuck it out and she made it work. 28 years, and now she's the CEO. Your imagination is your only limitation. Black girl power, right? Now, let's go into health news. Talking about the coronavirus. Now, I'm over here in Virginia and we're giving an update on the coronavirus. And this particular update comes from Daniel Carey. This is being recorded on March the 6th. And I was looking at Daniel Carey's Twitter. Now, Daniel Carey, he's a part of the Virginia Department of Health. So, according to him and the Virginia Department of Health, as of yesterday, Virginia currently does not have any confirmed cases of COVID-19 or coronavirus, but state agencies, have been hard at work making sure we are prepared. And then, of course, it says follow at VDH.gov and VDH Commissioner. And this is all on Twitter. So, coronavirus, the newest thing that everybody is terrified about, right? Now, I'm gonna be honest with you. I understand that this virus is an issue. I understand that it's something that we definitely need to take seriously. I understand that we definitely need to make sure that we are doing all of the precautions that we should be doing. Hand washing, using hand sanitizer and those types of things, being mindful, just doing the normal things we should be doing. You know, just normal things that we should be doing anyway. You know, if you're sick, stay home from work. You know, if you're sick, stay home from work. I mean, and as an entrepreneur and having clients and deadlines and, you know, and all of this type of thing, some of us don't necessarily have the ability to just say, you know, some of us don't have the ability to just tell a client, you know what? We signed a contract to have it done today, but guess what? Can't do it today. You know, that's not always the case. But you do have to take care of yourself. But, you know, but on the same token, I remember when they were talking about Ebola. And then if I go back and I think, and I didn't write this down, but it just really seems like it very well to me could be a lot more than what they're making it out to be. I just really think it's more than what they're making it out to be. You know, honestly, I think this is one of those times where we just be forward thinking. Obviously, take all of the necessary precautions that you need to take. Make sure that you have all of the things that you need to have, which honestly are things that we should be doing anyway. We should have plenty of water stored up anyway. We should have plenty of bleach and, you know, and canned goods and all of these things set aside anyway. Things like this really come in to help those of us that aren't as prepared for any type of a real major situation. This type of things helps those of us who aren't as prepared as we should be to get as prepared as we need to be. So there's a part of me, honestly, there's a part of me that feels like this is being blown way out of proportion. And, you know, and some years from, and next year about this time, we'll be talking about, you remember all that stuff that they were talking about, that coronavirus? And yes, people have died. And my condolences goes out to the people who have died all around the world. I mean, and being a voiceover artist, being a voice actor, I have clients literally around the world. Working with clients, doing books for clients out of Italy, literally right now, as soon as I finish recording this podcast. So, from a global standpoint, I understand that, you know, that is a problem. And I understand that even in Seattle, Washington, they were talking about, I was reading an article that Seattle is closing schools and they're advising people who can work from home to work from home, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I get it from the precautionary standpoint, but I really just don't think it's as much as they're making it out to be. Now, the things that I do think about is, since everybody's in a panic, the market is going down. This is not financial advice, but the things that I think about during times like this is the fact that your portfolio can definitely get a boost if your portfolio can get a boost. I mean, you know, from a long-term investor standpoint, when you start talking about dollar cost averaging, when the market goes down and just tanks like this, this is definitely the times when you reevaluate once again, not investment advice, but what smart people do, excuse me, what smart people do is they take the time to buy things that are discounted when they're discounted. So, you know, everybody likes a bargain, and everybody likes to get investments when they're at a discount. When things are at a discount, that's the best time to go through and scoop up things of value and quality, right? So, not financial advice, but, you know, just kind of look around. For all of the smart people that's out there, the highly intelligent people that listen to this podcast, have already went through their portfolio and have looked around and said, well, you know what? Let me see. I can add a little something over here. I can maybe increase a little something over there. These type of stocks tend to do well in these type of environments. So I'm going to kind of feed over there. Or, you know, I'm going to invest in some silver and gold and precious metals. You know, I'm going to do a little something with that over here. You know, I already got my necessities and other things stacked up. So, you know, going to look around for some bargains. You know, times like these, when the coronavirus kicks in, the highly intelligent, perceptive people, after they've made sure that their family and everybody else is good to go and straight and taken care of, they go back and look for opportunities to make money. I heard somebody say that there were a lot of millionaires that were made out of the Great Depression. And I dare to say, because I hadn't read done all of the research on it, but I dare to say, when everything was going down, there were some perceptive people who took the time to do some bargain shopping as far as for investments and such. I'm just saying, not financial advice. This is health news. And in health news, the coronavirus has caused a lot of people to panic, and it's caused the market to go down. All I'm saying is highly intelligent people that are out there, I'm sure, have already looked at the market, rebalanced their portfolio, and they perhaps have done a few things to benefit them. Not telling you to do anything, not telling you to buy anything, not telling you to invest in anything. I'm telling you to do the best possible thing for you. And to look around at the whole situation. Don't get so caught up in the fear that you might miss a good purchasing opportunity or investment opportunity of some sort, right? So, as it sits right now, and once again, and I know that there were some reports that there's somebody with the coronavirus out there in Fort Hood, which is Fort Hood. Y'all Virginia people know where that's at. So they were saying that there's supposed to be a case of somebody on the base with the coronavirus. Could be true, but as of right now, as of yesterday, March the 5th, according to the Virginia Department of Health, we have no confirmed cases. Now, whether or not they're actually telling us the truth, who knows? I mean, you know, we all know the government provides such wonderful information. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, right? You know, so it could be a crock of shit. Could be. But pressing on, just a little food for thought, just kind of hold on to that. Homeschool news. In the midst of homeschooling and in the midst of all of the crazy things that's going on in this world, I like to talk about homeschooling because I want to normalize the conversation around it and make sure that I always provide some type of resources or good solid information that's around and surrounding homeschooling. Because when I look around, like for example, even just in observing, I hear people talk about things all the time. And this is not an uncommon thing. You have a child, right? You have a child that's a special needs child. Or you have a child that might be autistic, right? Autistic children kind of come into a wide variety. That's huge. And it can go a couple different ways, right? And it's autistic children are not always the most, it depends on their condition, right? So, an autistic child, is being bullied by other children at the bus stop. This autistic child is already dealing with what they're dealing with the autism. Their parents are already working with them to get to deal and to help them with that. They go into a public school and they go to the bus stop, and then they got to go through and deal with an insensitive kid that wants to be a bully because of whatever is going on in their life, right? So I like to talk about homeschooling so that people that are experiencing things like this, because what happens is when you go back to these public schools, most of these public schools ain't really thinking about you. Unfortunately, most of these public schools don't really care. They don't have time to care. They're not paid enough to care. And the ones that are paid, they really are not thinking about you. So what's going to end up happening in a situation like this? The mother is going to end, having to go to the school and try to get all of this rectified, right? Will it get rectified? Probably not. What will end up having to happen, what this parent will do, and I don't know what this parent will do, but hopefully this parent will take the time to actually take their child out of that toxic situation and then put them into a better situation that's going to be more conducive for the child. Because the thing that we have to understand and realize, and the children are innocent. And we as the parents have to make sure that we are doing our best to instill in them and to give them the best opportunity to be the best possible adults that they can be. It's not the child's fault that the child is autistic. It's not the child's fault that there's an idiot at the bus stop that wants to be a bully. But if the parent doesn't take the time to make the necessary adjustments, they're essentially just putting that child right back into that same situation over and over again. And the reason why I talk about homeschooling is so that I can make sure that everyone that not only listens to this podcast, but shares it, or that hears me talk about it, when they hear other parents talking about these crazy situations and the children being in these toxic situations going to school, there is another way. And today's homeschool news is to provide options and support. So we're going through and going to talk about some groups. And a lot of these groups I'm going to just read off. And I want you guys to kind of go through and be able to pull these up for yourself and see exactly, pull them up for yourself, join the groups, talk to the people, get some information, find out what's really up with it. I mean, a lot of this stuff is online now. A lot of these things, this is getting a lot easier to do. And honestly, if you have a child, especially in our community, if you have a child that is, that has some special needs, you know, that you have a child that's autistic, you have a child that's any special needs, right? More than likely, it'll probably be best if they are either homeschooled or in some type of private school. And granted, I know that everybody can't afford to do that. But there's a lot of us out here, there's a lot of us out here that are doing well, or that are doing well enough to be able to do that, to be able to either homeschool our children or put them into a private school or some type of charter school, et cetera, et cetera. So, Facebook groups. First one, African-centered homeschoolers. Now, this one is touted as one of the largest Facebook groups for Black homeschoolers. This is the first group this individual joined. I pulled this list off of a blog from www.matermia.com. That's MATERMEA.com. And this came off of her blog. African-centered homeschoolers. That's one of the largest ones. It's very active and contains tons of information and resources to help you homeschool from an African perspective. Melanin Kids Book Club. Melanin Kids Book Club. Now, this one, and I guess I don't have to read all of these descriptions. Next one, because I have about 10 of these. Next one, African American Curriculum Co-op. Next one, Black Natural Homeschoolers. Next one, African American Homeschool Network. Next one, Black Homeschool Families. Homeschool in these, all of these that I'm giving you, homeschool is one word, just as an FYI. African American Unschoolers. Homeschooling Black Families. Black Homeschoolers Traveling Together. African American Homeschool Moms. African American Homeschool Holistic Living. African American STEAM Club. STEAM meaning science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And last but certainly not least, Afrocentric Homeschool Association. Now, all of these are Facebook groups. I recommend that you go back and you go through and check them out. Join the groups, especially if you don't have a lot of information, or if you're just trying to get gauge some other people's experience. Because once again, I'm over here in Virginia. The laws in your state could be different, but here's the thing that's very important to keep in mind. The homeschooling community is a very helpful one. The moms that you run into, the parents that you run into, are very helpful. And the people in these groups will be very helpful to share information. And there's co-ops and all type of things where you can get together with other homeschool parents and they help each other out. And one of the reasons why I talk about it on my podcast and why I continue to talk about it is because I seen the benefit firsthand, right in front of my face. I've seen what the positive things that it can do. So I'm a believer. And although I know and I understand and I say this a lot, because I want people to understand that I'm not so short-sighted to believe that everybody can just, that this is the solution for everybody. this is not the solution for everybody. This is possibly a solution for someone, but it is an option. You don't have to put your child into a school that as soon as they don't flow within whatever they think they should flow within, the first thing that they want to do is put them on some type of medication or drugs, or they want to discipline them they want to give them some crazy discipline and single them out and all of this, or they just ignore them completely and totally. And we're not going to even go through and start talking about the quality of the education. I mean, you know, we could go through and talk about schools that have books that are 30, 40 years old. Public schools that have books that are 30, 40 years old. But that's, you know, I'm just saying, homeschooling is an option. Everybody's not going to be able to do it, but those that can should, because you offer your child a better quality of education. You are the main influence in their life. You're there with them, and you can put your values, your morals into them first. You can educate them on the things that they need first. You can help them with the things that they need help on. You can help get them the extra tutelage that they may need. If they're really strong in math and really weak in another subject, you can adjust. You can inform and educate them on how great it is to be Black and all of the wonderful people that are in our Black race and in our Black history. And it takes a lot longer than 28 days to talk about the richness of the Black experience, right? So, homeschooling is an option. Now, moving on. Let's lighten it up a little bit before we dig into the real heavy stuff here. Corny comedy. And corny comedy, as I've always said, and I say it again, this is just really a segment to just my attempt at comedy. And this is going to really just become more so of... This is going to become more so of jokes that some harsh, rash jokes that most that would usually get people canceled. Now, this one actually is just something really simple. This is to all of my gym rats out there, all of my people who live in the gym and overly exercise a whole lot. All of my workout and fitness buddies will be able to really appreciate this one. Does refusing to go to the gym count as resistance training? Think about it. Oh my goodness, I tell you. Does refusing to go to the gym count as resistance training? Obviously, my people that work out all the time would say, hell no, that shit don't count. But, you know, I just find it, yeah, I thought that was just so amusing. And what does that have to do with anything? Absolutely nothing. It's really just something to kind of go through and kind of break the mold for a moment, because we're going to go through and go down and start talking about how social media affects teens in our community. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because as we're in this social media age, it's a gift and a curse. The gift is everybody has an opinion, and you can be able to really get honest, unbiased, unfiltered information from the people directly without having to sit back and think about who they're funded by or what their views are, or that they don't give a balanced view or an unbiased view or any of all of that, right? The blessing of social media is that. The curse of social media is also the same thing. Because just because everybody has an opinion, everybody's opinion is not necessarily going to be valid, or it's not going to be valid to what they're commenting on. But in this age of social media, it's really connected everybody in such a way. And I feel like it's disconnected people in such a way as well. Now, but when we're talking about our teens, now listen to this. I want to start by talking about social media use over time. Now, check this out. When the Pew Research Center began tracking social media adoption in 2005, just 5% of American adults used at least one of these platforms, talking about social media. By 2011, that share had risen to half of all Americans. And today, 72% of the public uses some type of social media. Now, you might be thinking, okay, well, that's grown people. Yes, it is. But wait, there's more. Check this out. Who uses social media? As more Americans have adopted social media, the social media user base has also grown more representative of the broader population. Young adults were among the earliest social media adopters and continue to use these sites at high levels. But usage by older adults has increased in recent years. Now, the 18 to 29 demographic, 18 to 29 year olds. I'm sure that my highly intelligent listeners out there can guess what the percentage of these use social media, and you won't be surprised. 18 to 29, they are, 90% of them have at least one social media account. 90%, 9 out of every 10 has at least one social media account. At least one. So they are all over the stuff, right? I mean, it is the new thing. So, but how, pray tell, is all of this affecting our teens, right? The 90% of them that's using this stuff. Well, let's go through and see. First thing, experts say kids are growing up with more anxiety and less self-esteem. And I'm going to go through and just unpack these just from a straight up parental standpoint, and from a straight up standpoint of looking at the mindset then and how the mindset will evolve. So, more anxiety and less self-esteem. Now, why is that? Now, here's the thing. With social media nowadays, it allows people to be real fake in a real big way. So, what a lot of these kids don't understand, especially teenagers, a lot of these people out there faking the funk, like we used to say back in the day, dating myself. A lot of these people, they're fronting. What a lot of these people portray on social media is not even close to their actual reality. So you get into the point of you have a lot of these teenagers looking at what some other teenagers are doing or appear to be doing, and it causes them to have image issues, esteem issues, and anxiety. They looking at someone else's life and they're like, well, their life is this, that, and the third. Why is my life not like that, right? You know? And on the same token, I think honestly they're giving these people, I think parents are giving kids these devices too quick. And I get it. I understand. Especially when you're a single parent and you got a deadbeat that ain't doing shit. You know, I'll talk about, I got another podcast coming that's going to be talking about I stepped up. Because that's what step-parents do. We step up when bitch-ass, motherfucking, hoe-ass, fucking, stank-ass, deadbeat-ass motherfuckers step back and don't step up. Yep, I said it. Not apologizing for it. It is what it is. And I'm sure every woman who's dealt with a deadbeat dad is out there saying, hell yeah. And every dad that's dealt with a deadbeat mother can understand the same thing. But anyway, talking about stepfather, step up. Anyway, experts say kids are growing up with more anxiety and less self-esteem. Totally agree. Indirect communication. This is one of the ones that really speak to me the most. Indirect communication. We're at a time right now where where people can be sitting at the same table and not have a conversation directly, speaking directly. We're at a time when we've gotten so used to and so lazy with these phones and with these devices that as opposed to actually if someone is in a different part of the house or just simply on a different floor, as opposed to actually walking up to go and speak to that individual, people will call or text. You're in the same building, in the same house. Indirect communication. There's no connection. There's no that human connection. We're more connected, but we're not. You know what I'm saying? We're more connected technologically speaking, but when it comes to our actual human connection, the human connection that we have is lacking. And the human connection that these teenagers have is lacking. And in my opinion, it just causes them to be, it affects them with how they deal with people coming up and going forward. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see how this generation of children evolve into adults, into all of this social media stuff and what actually happens later on in life. Now, indirect communication. That is just really terrible. You know, and like I said, it's just, I just think it's a blessing and a curse. It's for the same reasons it's a blessing, it's the same reason why it's a curse. Now, cyberbullying and imposter syndrome. Cyberbullying is one of these things that's come along and people talk about a lot. But, I mean, cyberbullying is one of those things that I understand it. And I understand how it can definitely be a problem. And I guess I understand to a certain degree why a teenager in the midst of all of this may feel like they can't just shut it off or just block or just, you know, because that's my thought. If somebody's trying to actually talk that nonsense, block them, unfollow them, you know, and if they're just idiotic enough to try to come back, block them. It's in most cases, it's just a click, They're just clicking a checkbox or a button of some sort and out it. But so the cyberbullying thing, I understand why it's a problem, but I guess there's a part of me that's like, well, that, you know, this is some online shit. And you don't have to deal with this person online. But I understand how it can be a problem. The imposter syndrome, I briefly spoke about that before. Most of these people out here online talking all this shit are doing this stuff for what they call, the current term is clout chasing. But I prefer to just call it what we used to call it back in the day, you're faking the funk. And you're just faking the funk. You're trying to be something that you're not. And that's what a lot of these kids are doing. They're trying to be something that they're not. And these likes and views and going viral and all of this other stuff has just, and here's the worst part. These people that are doing this imposter syndrome and these people that are out here actually trolling and doing all of this nonsense and this bullshit, they get rewarded by a ton of views, by a ton of attention, and they get rewarded by this extra exposure that the uneducated young person doesn't understand. There ain't no money attached to that. And the average young person in their 20s doesn't understand that 20 years from now, all of this that they're doing right now will still be out there online. And they will have matured, hopefully, and grown, hopefully, and evolved, hopefully, and realize that when you're young, you do dumb shit. But the difference between my generation, those of us that are in our 40s, or mid to upper 40s, the difference in my generation is, other than the things that we put out here now, if you go back 20 years, to this 2020, if you go back 20 years to 2000 and you start to go back, there's not going to be a lot of stuff out there, a lot of the dumb stuff online that the 40 plus did, unless it's some dumb stuff that the 40 plusers did, you know, as they got older. But the moral to the story is simply this. These children don't realize that they're going to grow up and be actual adults and have children of their own one day. And is the explanation going to be, well, son, I was young. I did that when I was young. Is the excuse that the mother gives to the daughter, oh, I was just young. That's just, oh, I was just young. Is that what it is? Maybe. Cyberbullying and imposter syndrome. Another effect. Stalking and being ignored. You know, stalking is one of those things that's always crazy. You know, if somebody's actually coming up to actually try to, it's just really fucking creepy. You know, when somebody is just following you around all the doggone time and just won't, you know, and won't just go away. Especially, and even though online with social media, you want followers, but you don't want creepy people, right? You don't want creepy people, and you don't want someone actually stalking you and calls you and threats and all of this other old nonsense. But once again, when you're online and you're on social media, everybody has a voice. Everybody has an opinion. Even if the voice or opinion of that individual is twisted because they are not all there or because they have other mental issues. So then you actually open yourself up for those type of things as well when you're not just careful online and you're not posting with a purpose. Posting with a purpose, which that's a topic for another day. So, what should parents do? You know, what should parents do? Here's what the experts say. Both experts interviewed in the article that I'm quoting from agree that the best thing parents can do to minimize the risk associated with technology is to curtail their own consumption first. Imagine that. It's up to the parents to set a good example of what healthy computer use.
Well,
this is why we're doing the podcast first, so I can be warmed up when I go back to read. It's up to parents to set a good example of what healthy computer usage looks like. Most of us check our phones or our email too much out of either real interest or nervous habit. Kids should be used to seeing our faces, not our heads bent over a screen. Establish technology-free zones in the house and technology-free hours when no one uses the phone, including mom and dad. Now, I agree. And I'm going to tell you one of the simplest ways. Well, actually, not because people have unlimited data. I was about to say just turn off the Wi-Fi during certain times of the day. But most of our phones have unlimited data right now, so all they would do is just use their data connection. But we as the parents definitely got to start it. And we have to not only start it, we have to take the time to really, really live it and just adjust our actions when it comes to what they're talking about with what parents can do. As far as with that, that's definitely a good start so that we can try to teach them up front that there is a balance. And I think communication is important as well to make sure that we are not only communicating the benefits and the positive things that can happen with social media, but also making sure that we are very clear and real about the dangers and the dangers that's going on out there and all of the crazy things that can happen online, right? And all of the things that can happen as a result of being online. People are out here getting killed behind this social media stuff and getting this doggone social media stuff confused with actual street stuff. It's kind of like I try to tell people, I tell the younger generation anyway, anyone who is really about doing something crazy, insane, off the wall, real, or whatever you want to call it, the realest people are not the ones that are out there in front of a camera on their YouTube channel bragging about how real they are. The realest people don't need to go through and convince you how real they are. The realest people that are really about that life, they don't have to get in front of their phone and get on a YouTube channel to impress the world of what their accolades are, because they would much rather you step out of line and they show you why they are a real one, but that's just what that is. So I think communication is important. I think that we should definitely set up technology-free zones, technology-free times. I definitely think we have to take it upon ourselves as parents to be more of an example of how to actually limit our usage on our phones, because I because now we don't even really have to, we barely have to go to a laptop now. I mean, unless we're doing something, a production of some sort. So, I mean, yeah, and then, yeah, so that just communication is important. You know, I mean, we have to be on, we have to be on our devices. Yes, we have to get out here and do what we need to do. Yes, we got to respond to texts and emails and this and that and the third. But one thing we can at least do is we can go through and try not to be as much on our devices in front of them as they are. We need to show some type of balance and demonstrate some balance to them so that when we try to get on them and say, why are you on your phone so much? They can't come back to us and be like, well, you're on your phone just as much as I'm on mine. You know what I mean? So we have to be that example. And we have to make sure that we communicate everything, the bad stuff as well as the good stuff that happens online. This is where what I feel like we should do, because our kids are being stalked online. Our kids have lower self-esteem right now because of this. They don't understand what's really going on, you know, because they're children. They don't get it. They are in that, as the old saying used to go, young, dumb, and full of cum, right? I mean, it is what it is, and that's why we are the parents and they are the children. It's up to us to educate them and to inform them so that they don't, so that we can help them deal with the anxiety that they may come up with or any self-esteem issues that they may come up with. We need to deal with them so that we have more direct communication with them. We need to deal with them and talk to them so that their risks are lowered for them getting into any stuff online. We have to keep our communication and talk to them more so that if someone is trying to cyber bully them, that they can actually feel comfortable to speak with us. And since we know that 90% of the people from the 18 to 29 demographic are on these devices, if you have a child that is in that age range, they're on social media. And any of these things, along with some other things, could definitely be affecting them. So what needs to happen? At this particular point right now is, as the parents, we need to take an active role in helping to combat and come against the things that can plague our children. And right now, social media is a blessing and a curse. But in our community, in this Black community, we have to do everything at a higher level. We have to do everything harder. We have to push much harder and go much harder to get what we need to get. It is what it is. It always has been. And as I close this episode out, social media is going to be a part of our lives for the next forever and for the rest of our lives, right? So as it evolves and as our children grow, we want to make sure that we educate them appropriately and effectively so that they won't be in the next 20 years trying to explain to their 10-year-old who discovered a video of them doing some pornographic BS or somewhere doing being highly disrespected, or they in one life they were dumb and did some dumb things, but now all of these dumb things were on display and their child can come to them and say, well mom, look at what you were doing when you were my age. Boom, here's the video. I'm not doing all of that. You were doing 5 things. I only want to do just this one thing. You did it. You turned out okay. And obviously that'll be a teaching moment, but and it's not funny, but we want to make sure that we are better. And if we educate our kids now, wouldn't it be great if they didn't even have to go through that? Let's teach them that social media is just like being out in public. Whatever you won't do in public, don't do on social media. The same dangers that are out in public are also out on social media. Sure, it's to be social, but you still have to make sure that we inform them of the potential danger. So with that said, this has been the Too Rich to Miss podcast. Make sure you follow me on Instagram, Too Rich to Miss. Follow me on Twitter, Too Rich to Miss. And as usual, as always, like I always say, be sure to check out the show notes. The show notes this week will have everything in there that I mentioned, talking about all of the homeschool groups, the links to the articles, and everything will be in the show notes. Check all of that out, and I will see you next week with another amazing episode of the Too Rich to Miss podcast. Be sure to give me that 5-star rating on iTunes. Share this podcast with everybody. We want to get our listener downloads up to over 1,000. So help me out with that, and let's go on and get this going. I'll see you next week. Peace.
The Too Rich to Miss podcast.